praise God for today. Hallelujah. And just want to share a word that just the Lord deposited in me this week. And also, it is a word also that I'm going to be sharing on the missions ministry, which I will be on a missions ministry within the next 4 weeks. February 10th, we leave to Mexico. My first missions trip, and so I'm really looking forward to it, to see what God is going to do in the midst of those families and children. Amen. So, but I wanted to share with you today that, as we all know, we are living in a world that it so quickly labels us, so quickly putting labels on us, on our children, on our grandchildren. I mean, you can see it, you know, and for many of us, right? And many of us are not here right now, but many of us, people look at, have looked at your past. People know about your mistakes. People have seen your weaknesses, and yet they're so quick to judge on those things, not knowing, listen, we are a new person in Christ Jesus. We gotta let go of the past. We said it last week, like, we gotta leave the past behind. And if these are unbelievers, you gotta remind them, hey, that I'm no longer that person. Mm-hmm. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. And you know, and people, most of the time, they so misjudge us. They don't even know us. They don't even know our stories. And they're so quick to label us, right? And I remember being in middle school. You know, I lived in Puerto Rico for 10 years. I learned Spanish first. But when I was 11, I was moved to, my mother moved us to New York. And in middle school, I was bullied in school. I was bullied on the bus, and I was bullied because of my short hair. It was really short, thanks to my mom. I was bullied for my weight, and I was bullied because I couldn't really speak the English language well. You know, and even today, sometimes I have a hard time pronouncing words, but English is not my first language. So I never went through elementary. I never took grammar in school. I just learned it just like every other child learns when they come to a new country. They learn their language the way they know it to be, you know, the way it's spoken, right? So that was a triple whammy for me, right? So throughout my life, I you know, those labels, I carry those labels throughout my life. But how God sees us, we got to remember that God doesn't see us with labels. And how God sees us is often very different from how people see us.
That is true.
And even different from how we see ourselves. Sometimes we are our worst enemies. I can testify to that. Amen? So,
yeah.
You know, so if we don't understand how God sees us, right, we will continue to live beneath our calling. And how many know God has a great calling on our life? Amen. We're going to live beneath our joy. I mean, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Imagine living beneath that because how you have mislabeled yourself or how other people see you. We would also be living beneath our authority. How many of us? We know the Word of God says, the Lord says, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all, not some, over all the power of the enemy. But if we don't understand who we are in Christ, if we don't know how God sees us, we are going to be living beneath these things. So this morning, church, the Lord wants to heal your vision so you can see yourself the way He sees you. And we're going to begin with the story of David and Saul and Samuel the prophet, right? Because how many know that God looks at your heart, which is something my sister right here, Venice, said earlier. God sees the heart. He sees our true character. And in the we're going to begin here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And I want to give you a little content before we get to those verse, to that verse. Amen. So here we know from scripture that God sees the heart of man, right? And in this content, we got to recall that there was the first king of Israel was King Saul. But King Saul, even though God chose him, he became rebellious and he became disobedient with God. So God was looking for another king and he called Prophet Samuel and said, hey, go to Jesse's house. Go to his house and there I'm going to tell you who I'm going to pick as the next king, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. So and when we look, you don't need to go there, but if you want to, in Samuel 13:14, right, just a few verses before, I just want to share this because just giving you some content right now. So in Samuel it says in 13:14, God says, but now your kingdom shall not continue. He's talking about the kingdom of Saul, right? The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, right? So God is looking a man after his own heart. So here, you know, God is looking for a new king. And he tells the prophet Samuel, go to Jesse's house. Go and pick out a king for me. So Jesse comes out, the father comes out and calls out seven of his sons, right? And when Samuel looked at the first one, his name is Eliab, right? He looks at the first one, he sees him strong, he sees him tall, and he's about to kind of anoint him and about to choose him, and the Lord stopped him. And let's go to 1 Samuel 16:7 and look at what the Lord tells Samuel. If you're there, right?
Amen.
It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. So look at it. If Samuel would have chosen Eliab to be the next king, Eliab would have been pretty much disappointed and he would have disobeyed God. Right? But look at this. You know, because King Saul was tall and handsome, the scripture says, he probably thought, well, here's a guy. He's one of his sons. I mean, one of Jesse's son. He's tall. He looks strong. He looks maybe impressive, right? But one by one, after the Lord told Samuel that, one by one, the Lord rejected all of Jesse's sons.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel said, hey, do you have any more? Because the Lord said, no, it's none of these. You cannot anoint any of these. And I'm paraphrasing. And then Jesse said, yeah, I got this young boy. He's out there on the field. He's shepherding the sheep. And he's taking care of the sheep. And Samuel says, bring him. And guess what happens, right? We know the stories. Jesse brings him. And the Lord says, he's the one. Anoint him as the next king of Israel. So the Lord chose David, a shepherd, a one that was overlooked, one that had been forgotten. I mean, Samuel clearly told Jesse, bring your sons out. And they left David out. Mm-hmm. He was also overlooked, underestimated David. And as godly as Samuel was, he was making the mistake of judging who would be the next king by the outward appearance, right? And again, it was probably because Saul was tall. The Lord is like, no, it's not him. So anyway, so all that to say that people judge us by appearances. People judge by our status. People even judge us for our past failures. But God looks and see what is in the inside of you. What's in the inside of me?
Yes, yes, yes.
God sees your desires. God sees how you walk in faith. God sees how many times you submit and you surrender to him. And yes, sometimes we may feel overlooked. Listen, I have felt overlooked many, 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 many times. But God sees what others miss.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You may feel insignificant, but God sees your potential. Amen. You may feel broken, but God sees purpose in you and an attitude to conquer. Amen. So how does God see you? I wanna share with you how God sees you and I today. One, God sees you through redemption, not condemnation. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1. I know you are going to be blessed by this word, because I know I've been blessed by the word, by this message. Amen. As a matter of fact, you know, our identity in Christ is one of the first Bible study teachings that I did when we started in September, because I know it is very significant for you to know how God sees you. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. Amen. And in Romans 8:1, this is what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. And I tell you, like Sister Vinny, just, you know, she was just speaking the message, because she was talking about the Spirit of God. Amen. Look at the verse right here. I want you to look at this verse right here, this scripture. You know, look at the verse where it says in and after. Look at the way they are being used. And they are really significant in this particular verse, because in denotes a fixed place or position. After denotes a lifestyle. So Christians are in Christ, read the verse, are in Christ and should walk after Christ. But let me tell you a truth here. But it is impossible for a person who is in Christ to walk after the flesh. Did you hear that? It is impossible for a person who is in Christ to walk after the flesh. But a true Christian, a believer, cannot be in the flesh. If you're in Christ Jesus, you cannot be in the flesh, because you're walking by the Spirit of God. Look at Romans 8:9. Just stay right there. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, right? The Spirit, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's right. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So unbelievers don't belong to Christ. They're not his. They don't carry his spirit. Their spirit has not been renewed. Amen. So again, amen. God sees you through redemption, not condemnation. You know, others will condemn you. The law will condemn you. Our own conscience sometimes condemn us, but you will never, ever be condemned by the Lord God. And unfortunately, I've been here, we replay what God has already forgiven. But God does not see you as a mistake. He doesn't see your former life. He doesn't see your past shame. No, through Christ, God sees you as forgiven. You are forgiven. That means you have been pardoned from the past, present, and future sins. That is good news right there, church. To be forgiven for past, present, and future sins, that's amazing. Only Christ can do that. The cross did that for us. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus did that for us. And through Christ, God sees you as cleansed. That means removal of guilt, shame, and condemnation is gone. You've been cleansed totally. All that has been washed from you. And for so many years, I lived with this guilt, shame, and condemnation. So many years. And I was walking with my head held down and not up. Because I didn't know, I didn't understand that God saw me through his eyes, not other people's eyes. And through Christ, another one, God sees you as justified. That means you are righteous and you have been fully accepted by God. By God.
Amen.
And I want to let you know that, as you know, we have a real enemy that loves to remind you and I of where we've been.
Amen.
Right? The minute we get saved, boom, he comes to remind us, oh, but you did this and you did that and you were here and you were there. No. Yes, we are children of God, but it is a process that we have to go through. Remember Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed no longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to renew our minds. We need to know the word. We need to know how God sees us, and that you can only know through the word of God. So today, God wants to remind you of who you are right now.
Amen.
How he sees you.
Amen.
And if God has released you, why are you still holding on to your to yourself and keeping yourself hostage by your past, by who you were, you're no longer there. You have a new identity in Christ, and we're gonna go through that in a little bit. Amen. So here we have God looks on our hearts, right? God sees us forgiven, cleansed, and justified. And another thing is God sees you as new. You are a brand new creature in him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is what the word says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. So if anyone is in Christ, as we are a new creation. We are now new creatures in Christ Jesus, right? And because of that, because of the cross, because now we accepted the Lord as our Savior, we now have a new identity in him, which is our spiritual man, not the flesh. Remember when you were born again, your body is made up of spirit, soul, and body. I mean, your human nature is made up of spirit, soul, and body, right? When you became born again, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that was renewed and made new was your spirit. Your body's still the same, and your mind was still the same. And this is why Romans 12:2 is so important, because little by little, it doesn't happen overnight, we need to renew our minds. Amen. And when we begin to renew our minds, our body has to follow that. So if you have symptoms and you begin to proclaim, you know what, the spirit that I have within me is perfect, it's never been sick. So this body cannot be sick. In Jesus' name, I am healed. And you begin to speak to your mind, and your body has to follow what you're saying. Because your mind has to align with the spirit, and then your body has to follow through that. Amen? I heard my professor said yesterday, two-thirds of God is go, right? Two-thirds of God. Amen? So two-thirds of you is fully spirit. Amen? Your body's the same, but your mind and your spirit, they got to be renewed. You know, your mind has to be renewed to the spirit. Amen? And the spirit is what takes over. You've been sealed with the spirit of God. You have dominion and authority now over anything.
Amen.
Amen. Because you have the spirit that you can say no to people, say no to Satan, say no to your situations. Amen. So again, you have a new identity in Christ. Amen. And likewise, an unbeliever might try to walk after Christ, but the truth is, if they will always be in the flesh, right? Then you know, nothing's gonna happen, right? Amen. Because you know, an unbeliever may try to walk after Christ, but the truth is, they will always be in the flesh, because he's an unbeliever. Until they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, their spirit cannot be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta put their faith in Christ alone.
Yes.
But unbelievers are doing their own thing. You know, they don't believe in Christ. Amen. So they're lost. They're in confusion. We gotta share the good news, and we gotta keep sharing the good news with them. Amen. So again, it is your spirit that is instantly changed at salvation. And your spirit is perfect. It cannot sin. Everything that is true of Jesus Christ is true of your born again spirit. Again, we're talking about the spirit. Amen. So your spiritual salvation is totally complete, because at salvation, you receive the same spirit that you will have throughout all eternity. It will not have to be changed again. It doesn't have to be cleansed again. Your spirit has been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in Christ Jesus, and is therefore sanctified and perfected forever.
Amen.
Perfected forever. And it's hard for our minds to comprehend that. Right? But to know that our spirit, the spirit of God that dwells in us, it is perfected, sanctified forever. It's amazing. So salvation doesn't just change your destination, it changed your identity. So you may still struggle, but you're no longer the same person, right? We're growing day after day, right? We're renewing our minds day after day. You may still be growing today, but you're no longer lost, right? Your veil has been removed. So God sees growth where you see weakness. God sees process where you see failure. God sees transformation where you see maybe delay, right? So we need to stop introducing ourselves to our past, right? Which we need to leave behind, when God has already written a new name over your life. Because in Christ, you have a new name. Amen? Amen. And that takes me to the next point, that God sees you as chosen and accepted. Amen. That's good news right there too. Ephesians, let's go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Let's go to verses 4 through 6. Amen. Are you there? Ephesians 1, 4 through 6 is what it says. Just as he chose you, right? Chose us in him, talking about God. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. That's so good. That is so good. We have been chosen, accepted as the beloved of God. We were chosen in Christ before the world began, church. We were already chosen in Christ before the world began. We are holy and without blame because God sees us through Christ. God predetermined that we would be his adopted child, which means we now have become the property of our Heavenly Father. And we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen. We have been accepted by God. We are redeemed. We have been forgiven by faith in Christ. And that means, you know what that equals? That means we are truly blessed. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed ministry. We are a blessed church. If we are blessed, that means we are a blessing to our families. We can be a blessing in our jobs. We can be a blessing in our stores. And this is the truth. God delights in us. God delights himself in you. God is not mad at you. God is madly in love with you. Because you're not an accident. You're not a backup plan. You're not even a burden to him. No, God chose you. When God looks at you, he doesn't see rejection. He sees relationship. Because Amen. God yearns for us to be in intimate relationship with him. God is real, church. God is waiting for us to just knock on his door. He just wants to sit with us and just talk one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's relationship. God yearns relationship from his children. And another thing is God sees our potential. God sees your potential and who you are becoming.
Yes.
Look at what in Philippians, let's go to Philippians 1:6. Look at what it says. And this is Paul speaking to the Philippi church.
Philippians 1:6.
Look at what it says. This is Paul speaking to the church, and the Lord is speaking to us through his letter. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God,
Amen.
It is God. If he began a good work in you, and he has in all of us, he will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul, he wrote this letter. He had confidence in the Lord that what he has started in the Philippians, he would also continue and complete. Amen. And this doesn't mean that there was an overnight success for the Philippians, that it was something automatic. No, we believers, we have to cooperate with what God is wanting to do in their lives. Amen. I gotta cooperate with God or how he wants this ministry to run. Amen. God is not gonna just Money's not just going to flow down from the sky. Amen. Mm-hmm. I have to cooperate with God's purpose in my life. I have to make choices. I got to decide, right? And yes, men can be flaky with their faith, but God's faithfulness is never in question. God is faithful all the time. And if he's called you, and if he's chosen you, and he's accepted you, that means he has fully equipped you for the work that he's going to do through you.
Amen.
Whether individually or in ministry, God has already equipped you. He's given you a new name. God sees you perfect in his eyes. Let me tell you, as a matter of fact, we are an identical replica. Our spirit is an identical replica of the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When God sees you, he sees his son, Jesus. He sees him. He sees your spirit. God is spirit. He doesn't look at your body. He doesn't look at your mind. He looks at your spirit because God is spirit. He can only communicate in the spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But it is God. God's faithfulness is never in question. It is always God's will to continue and complete the good work that he began in his children. And we are his children. We got work to accomplish. And your ministry can be at home. You may have, your ministry can be with your family. If God called you, if God gave you a calling, for some of us, it's with your family. For some of us, could be at work. For some of us, it's in ministry. Amen. But whatever it is, whatever God started in you, he will complete it in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because God sees the finished work before it's visible. And this is where faith comes from, right? We don't see the end result, but by faith, we believe it and we can imagine Beacon of Light Church structure. By faith, I am imagining, amen, the church on the west side of William Floyd. By faith, I'm imagining the structure, how the parking lot looks like, how the chairs look like, how the platform, the pulpit looks like, what the inside is going to look like. By faith, I'm imagining and I'm declaring, God, what you started in this ministry, you will complete. Completed in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So God sees the finished work before it's even visible, right? You see your current struggle, but I'm telling you right now that God sees your future testimony. Let me tell you, my mess has become my message. Your mess becomes your message. Amen. God sees you, right? The way you see yourself may be as incomplete. But God sees what's possible in you if you stay faithful to him. So in other words, don't quit just because it doesn't look like you have it all together. Amen. Who has it all together? Who's arrived? I haven't arrived yet. I don't know about you, but I haven't arrived yet. I got a lot to learn from Christ. Amen. But I'm not about to quit just because I don't see. I can't see it visibly. Amen. I'm going to put God's shoes on right now. I said, okay, I may not see the finished work, but I'm going to imagine it. I'm going to see it in the spirit realm that it is already done in Jesus' name. So don't quit. I'm just telling you right now, don't quit. Amen. Don't quit. That is not an option. Know who you are in Christ. Amen. Know the way he sees you. And the reality is that the greatest battle many believers fight is not the devil, but it's our identity.
Yep.
It is self. That's right. That is the greatest battle. That was my greatest battle. For years, I always carried those labels upon me. For years, I didn't really know that God saw me as chosen, call that was accepted by him. I didn't know that I had a special teaching gift. I didn't know that I was unique. Hallelujah. I didn't know that I was the apple in God's eyes. I didn't know these things for over 50 years. It took me a long time for me to learn my identity, my true identity in Christ. But when you know that God sees you through redemption, not condemnation, as a new creation, chosen and accepted, we will begin to pray differently. You will begin to worship more boldly. And you're going to continue to walk confidently and freely because of what the Lord has done for you. He's given you a new identity, and that identity is in Christ Jesus alone. Amen. So this morning, church, I want you to grasp, just grab hold, take hold of this truth. What God is saying today, see yourself the way he sees you.
Yes.
See yourself the way he sees you. Amen?
Amen.
Grab hold of that truth. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. You've been redeemed. You've been accepted. You've been chosen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Say,
your past doesn't define you no longer. You just keep your eyes on the Lord, know who you are in Him, and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't look back. Move forward. Amen. Move ahead.
That's
right. Store the high calling of Christ in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You are blessed, church.